Good morning, everyone. The first part of the story in our gospel reading seems quite straightforward, doesn't it? Here is Jesus, after his resurrection, asking the leader of the disciples, Peter, questions. Three questions. But what makes this story so dramatic is the backstory. In fact, there are three questions in the story, and there are three backstories. Now, the technique of the backstory is used regularly in novels and in television films today. We're all used to it. One of the most famous, of course, is Daphne du Maurier's novel Rebecca. And if you know it, you'll know that Rebecca never occurs in the story. She's already dead. But it is the backstory of Rebecca that affects the entire story of the novel. Of course, it's part of life. In our stories today, each of us have backstories, don't we? In our childhood and in earlier years, that have an enormous significance for our stories today. So, before we go into the story with its three backstories, there's just one word I need to investigate before we go there. And that's the word love in English. English is a very problem language when it comes to the word love. I mean, in Greek, they've got a whole load of different words. One word for loving your mother and father and family and friends. Another word for your lover, the one you want to marry. Another word for liking things. But in English, we use the same word, being in love. And then we use the word love for loving a beautiful sunset. And then we even use the same word love for fish and chips. Well, some of us do anyway. So when it comes to translating the New Testament, or the Old Testament for that matter, I want to suggest to you a new translation for the word love. And the word I want to suggest to you is this: devoted commitment. Devoted commitment. Wouldn't it be interesting if in a marriage service, instead of saying, will you love, we said, will you offer devoted commitment? And instead of talking about making love in modern novels and films, wouldn't it be different to say, shall we offer each other devoted commitment? So, when Jesus said, do you love me? Just in your mind, will you think of these words? Peter, do you offer me devoted commitment? So, to the story. Question number one. It isn't just, do you love me, is it? In actual fact, Jesus adds some further words that draw our attention to the backstory. And what Jesus asked him was, do you love me more than these? More than these. What does that mean? Well, does it mean more than his fishing business. Because after the trauma of the execution of Jesus and the bewilderment arising from the stories of the resurrection, Peter went back to fishing. Jesus said, "Is your devoted commitment to me more than to your old job?" And of course it's meaningful in our lives today, because many Christians deep down love their professional life or other aspects related to it at the end of the day more than they love Jesus and the kingdom of God. It could mean that. But more likely it means, do you love me more than these other disciples who are all around us? And this is what points to the backstory. Because just a few weeks before, Jesus had been warning his disciples that the time would come when he would be arrested and he'd suffer greatly, and the disciples would let him down. And it was Peter who said, "No, Lord, even if all the rest let you down, I wouldn't. I wouldn't." Is that the backstory behind this question? Peter, do you love me? Are you committed to me more than these others? So deep down, it was a question addressing Peter's pride, his arrogance, his sense of superiority. And this is a real temptation for Christians, and particularly for those of us who are Christian leaders, in whatever way. "Do you think you're better than other people?" says Jesus to Peter. "Do you love me more than these others?" And Peter's stuck. He doesn't really answer the question. He just says, "You know I love you." But no longer does he claim, "I love you more than all the others." Question number two. And here, Jesus cuts out the last words and he just says, "Do you truly love me?" Now, of course, when we've got the text in front of us and in another language, we can't always tell where the emphasis lies. But I just wonder, and I suggest to you, that Jesus might have put this, "Do you truly love me?" Me. You see, there's a backstory there. Because when Jesus was talking earlier to the disciples about his ministry and how he was not called to lord it over others and be a big shot, he was called to be the suffering servant of Isaiah, and one day he would be arrested and suffer. It was Peter who, along with the other disciples, said, "No, no, this must not happen to you. We won't allow it to happen." And Jesus spoke very toughly to them. "You're not talking to me in the way that God would want. You're talking the devil's way. You're trying to distract me from God's path for the rescue of the world." And so Peter, along with the other disciples, had this sneaking longing, not always sneaking, that Jesus would be the sort of Messiah in the end who would be a victorious leader who would lead them against the Roman occupiers. But actual fact, Jesus warned them in advance of what really happened, which was arrest and mock trial and scourging and execution. So this question, this second question, was not just, do you love me, is your commitment to me, but it was, is your commitment to the real me who is called to be the suffering servant? It was a question of understanding. Peter, have you really got what I've been talking to you about over recent weeks? Have you allowed it to enter your mind? You hadn't a few weeks ago, but have you got it now? And it's so easy for us today to build up a Jesus of our own preference. Many people want a sentimental Jesus who will be around to help them when they're in trouble. But the rest of the time, they'll get on all right on their own. Thank you very much. Or other people want a political Jesus. A Jesus that will somehow turn the world around in terms of justice and peace. Of course, Jesus was very concerned about that, wasn't he? But it doesn't include the cross. Do you truly love me? Is your devotion, your commitment to the real me, says Jesus? And then the third question, the third time. Do you really love me? And we read in the gospel that Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time. And the reason why Peter was hurt, of course, was because of the backstory, wasn't it? The third time immediately took Peter back to the triple denial in the courtyard of the high priest. Jesus on trial. All the other disciples have abandoned Jesus. But Peter is following at a distance. There he was, warming himself around the fire. And once someone pointed at him and said, "Surely you were one of the followers of Jesus." No way. A second time it happened. A third time it happened. "Surely you were one of them." And this third question was a question that hurt, and it led to Peter hearing the cock crow and remembering the prediction of Jesus. "Before the cock crows twice, you will have denied me three times." And Jesus, the one he looked up to so much, that Jesus would deliberately draw attention to that threefold denial, really hurt Peter. But sometimes if things are going to be put right, it's going to be painful. To get a splinter out of your toe can be more painful than the original splinter, can't it? The cleaning of a damaged wound in your arm can be really painful. And when Jesus comes to us with our failures and our weaknesses, it can be quite hurtful, quite painful. We shouldn't be able to breeze through the confession light-heartedly on a Sunday morning. And so the story seems quite straightforward, doesn't it? Do you love me? But the backstories fill it out and make it profoundly dramatic, profoundly challenging. A question of superiority. Do we think we're better than other people? A question of understanding. Do we really love the real Jesus? The third question. A question that hurts. Are you devotedly committed? Really to me? And then comes the words of forgiveness, implicit, not explicit, because what Jesus says to Peter is, I want you to come and share my work. God, we call the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, the most famous song in the Bible's hymn book. But Jesus comes and he says, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus says to Peter, with all his weakness, his denial, he says, come and be a shepherd with me. Help to look after my people, the flock. And I think Jesus may well be saying to many of us, perhaps all of us this morning, will you come and more explicitly share in the shepherding ministry that I have in this church and village? Do you really love me? Yes, Lord. You know everything. You know that I'm truly devoted and committed to you.